So all of you have oh, here we go. Someone else is joining in. Okay. All right. Hello? All right. Hold on. Hello? So today, what I wanted to talk about is just continuing along the principles of attitudinal healing. And today's idea is this idea that giving is receiving. And that this is like a really, it's kind of a difficult idea, or maybe sometimes it might be more intuitive. But the idea is that when our attention is on giving and joining with others, fear is removed, and we can accept healing for ourselves. So what does that mean? You know, if we think about giving and receiving kind of like more, let's say, resources or goods or, you know, obviously around money, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of sense of, like, you know, possession and what's mine and what's yours. And, you know, we have all kinds of laws in society, you know, property laws and, you know, bank laws and money laws and all of these things. And, you know, the idea of giving and receiving can get very confused. So Jerry Jampolsky, who's the founder of Attitudinal Healing, he once gave this, you know, kind of example. He said, okay, if I've got $10 and I give you $5, then I'm $5 left. So, but in Attitudinal Healing, what we're talking about is more this idea that when we come from this space of love and we really start to feel that flow, the minute we flow it, you know, we're in that flow, we've received it, and so then it's we're giving it. So the giving is the receiving, because we have to receive before we can give. And so the idea is that usually in this world, we come into this world and, you know, I like to think of it like we're just sort of, you know, it's almost like the minute that we pop in into the world, it's like, I want, I want, I need, I need, I want, I want, I want. And, you know, we just have these images of that, you know, we don't have enough and how will we have enough and, you know, just even we come into the world as a baby, and a baby is, like, totally dependent, you know, on the parents and is needing all this care. So we just kind of assume that's just how it is, and that, you know, we will always have lack, and that we need to get, we need to get. And so we just fall into that pattern, and so we end up looking at everything from that lens again. And so, you know, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of, like, grabbing and taking, or we can go the other end where we can feel there's not enough, there's scarcity, so, you know, we might be afraid to ask, we may feel there's not enough, why should I ask, I don't deserve this. You know, so it really can be very difficult to break out of it, and in that space, there can't be peace of mind, there just can't be. So I wanted to talk about this giving is receiving from a couple of different angles. The first thing is that why is it that giving is receiving? Well, if we forgot about spiritual traditions for a minute and forgot about, well, giving is good and giving is nice and all that, we don't want to go there. Let's just stop that for a second. And we just went to sort of like a scientific perspective, right? So if we went into, I like to give this idea, like if you look at your hand, and then if we went deeper into the hand and we saw beneath the hand, you know, the skin, there would be like maybe some fat tissue, and then there would be muscle, and then we would get to bone, and then we would get to kind of the atoms that make that bone, and then we get to, you know, like the molecules and the atoms, and you go deeper, 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 you're eventually going to come to a place where it's all space, where there's more space than anything physical. And even before that, once you're at kind of the atoms and molecules level, where your hand ends and where the, like for me, I'm resting my hand on a table right now and the computer is resting on that table. There's a book. But at that deep molecular level, there's really no separation. You know, it would just be molecules. You wouldn't see that. Now, our physical eyes obviously don't have that capacity, so, you know, we don't see that. But that's what scientists would tell us, and that's what's been shown. So really, this giving and receiving, if you think of it, is kind of even artificial because really there's no separation. You know, we're all one. And this whole attitudinal healing or any real, you know, spiritual tradition is really trying to help us recognize that oneness with everything and everyone. And when there is oneness, you know, when we feel connected with something or someone, we don't have a sense of separation. And so there's no fear, right? There's no fear. But when we don't have that sense of oneness, when we feel that separation, then there is the fear. And then in that fear, we're afraid to give, we're afraid to receive. You know, we have all of these notions around it that can really get in the way. So giving is receiving is trying to help us really remember our fundamental unity with everything, that that's where we feel like the most, you know, at home. And again, the image that's coming to me is the image of the ocean. And if you think of this ocean that's so vast and this one wave tries to kind of come out of this ocean, you know, and tries to kind of be independent, well, it's false, right? Even for a minute, it might look like it's separate, but it never is. It's always ocean, and it's always going to be part of that. And so for us, too, you know, we get into a place sometimes where there is so much of this individuality, you know, be unique, be your own person, be this, be that, that it can just be like, you know, some cultures, you know, like the American culture, I think Western culture might be more that way, and Eastern cultures tend to be more about the family. But the point is that this need to experience our oneness is like very fundamental, and it's in us, and we want to connect, and so the giving and receiving helps us to see that our fear can come down, that really we're only giving to ourselves. You know, in the end, we're really giving to ourselves because, you know, whatever we see is really a part of us, right? The other kind of story that I wanted to share is, you know, one of my friends, Judy Morton, she did this course online, and I got to know her through that because I did the same course. And of course, it was like a 6-month online training called Living in Purpose, and based on these similar ideas of attitudinal healing and all of that. And I was talking to her because her story really demonstrates this to me, this principle of giving and is receiving on so many levels. So when she came to this kind of whole, first it was like a 40-day training, and then it was this longer training. She came to it. She was really in a very, very, you know, very difficult situation. She had recently gone through a divorce, and it had been, you know, just her savings was all gone. She lost her home. And she was a single mom to 3 kids. 2 of the kids had special needs. And so I was reading what she had written on the website, and she was saying, you know, people would tell her, you know, I can't believe how you're alive. You know, I would just curl up in a ball and want to die because this is just so awful. And she said sometimes she, you know, she did feel this way. It was just a really difficult place. But then somehow she, you know, this 40-day program came to her life, and she took it. And she just had such an opening, like she felt such a lifting of her spirit and this sadness lifted. And she just felt like, you know, this connection that she had once had with this place of peace within her, it was renewed. So she got so excited that she felt like she just wanted to share her time and energies with this organization that had offered this course. And at that time, this course was just being offered free, and it was a nonprofit organization. So, you know, there wasn't money or anything, not at that point anyway. But she just really wanted to give. You know, she felt she had received so much that she wanted to be of service. So she just started to do whatever was asked, and then she went and got herself, like, you know, this, it was like kind of secretarial, administrative, customer service kind of work, and she had had a background in that. She just went out. She, you know, had $100 of, you know, whatever she needed at Staples or her local place there to get, like, the files and the folders and all that stuff. So you have to imagine, here's a mom, a single mom, and, you know, that's not easy. You know, $100 maybe for us, it's nothing, but for her, that was a big thing. But she just felt like, you know, she wanted to do this, she wanted to have the right stuff, and she knew what she needed. And so she did that, and she says, like, within, I don't know, very, very shortly afterwards, this volunteer position, if she, like this organization started to get money, and they started to get donations, and so her position became a paid position. So she ended up, you know, getting salaried and everything, and then the people who had hired her came to visit her, and then, you know, they gave her, like, that $100 that she had spent, she got a reimbursement for that as well. And then she continued to be part of this program, and there were some people who had done this program before, and so she was sort of interviewing them, and she was, you know, building up their website, and she met this man. They just started to become friends, and they started to get to know each other better. And over time, they just, you know, they fell in love, and, you know, they were in two different states, but, you know, they just had this strong connection, and they had this common purpose. This program, you know, was around, you know, attitudinal healing, peace of mind, all of that. And I got to know them when my friend Judy was still in California, and her her boyfriend slash fiance was in Chicago. And just about, I want to say about a month ago, he moved to California. So now, you know, now they're together. So, you know, I just bring this story because to me it illustrates, it's not even so much like, you know, the things about what happened, but it's like the spirit in which this woman just, you know, just moved, you know, it was fearless, you know, she just really stepped into this place of, or, and I, even fearless isn't the right word, even when she had fear, she chose love, she kept choosing love, she kept choosing love, and she even talked about, like, her whole fear about money, because she had lost all of her savings in this divorce, and her house, and all that stuff, and, you know, they had this principle of, like, tithing, which is this idea of, like, you know, a certain percent of your money to those who spiritually nourish you, you know, those that you feel really help that part in you. Not so much about, you know, giving to charities and all that, and that's all good, but this was separate. And so she just really just didn't, you know, just started to do that. And she said that, you know, this giving and receiving, it's become this idea that it's really about letting go of fear. So we're afraid to give because we don't know, you know, like, let's say if it's money, we don't know, will there be money for me? Or let's say, you know, we're afraid to step into something, will there be support for me? So we're afraid to give of ourselves. And then on the other hand, sometimes we're afraid to receive because, you know, am I worthy? Can I accept this? Is this okay? So you see, it's all connected to fear, and that's what we want to let go of. So the giving and receiving part, when we can see it's one and the same, it starts to break that idea of fear and separation down. And so she and I were talking about this today because I was telling her that, you know, this the stuff that I'm doing with Coaching for Inner Peace, it's become a nonprofit, and so I've kind of let go of my job. And, you know, we were just talking about how that's going to go, and she was talking to me about tithing. And I could feel my fear, right? So I'm feeling my fear. And I'm like, okay, I see what you're saying, but it's like this. And so I was, like, making these excuses. And then, you know, she was very patient. And, you know, we're friends, so we're talking. And then I really heard what she was saying. You know, I really heard, you know, and I knew about this, and I had been kind of doing it, but sort of not sure. And the fear would come up and all this stuff. So it's just a cute little story. So then I went to my dance class today, and I was thinking about what she was saying, and then I came back, and I realized that, you know, there were these two people that really inspired my vision for Coaching for Inner Peace, and I felt like, you know, I really wanted to donate something to them. Like, I had in my mind what it would be, what that would look like, and it was it was going to be like, it was like set in my mind that I was committed, that I was going to do it before I was even going to, you know, sit down and do my bills and do this other stuff. And so it's so funny. So I came home and I look at my my mailbox, and there's a check for, you know, the program that I've designed, and it was like the first person, and it was waiting for me in my box. Now, you could say, well, it was going to show up anyway, but for me, it was just a confirmation that you're provided for. You know, if you step into this place of opening, you know, something is going to be there. And, you know, it may not look like a check. It may not look like this. You know, it could look like different things, but that the universe has got your back, you know, that you're not alone. So that's kind of the stories I wanted to share. And I'm going to now stop. And I'm going to ask whoever would like to say something or whoever would like to, you know, make a comment or a reflection, you can just press *6. And, yeah, and then that should work. Okay. Yeah, so you can just press *6. Okay. Okay. Emil? Yeah. Hi.
Well, Seema, I'd just like to say a couple things about what you were talking about. And I found, like, even in giving, like, I have some people that in my neighborhood that come to my door and ask for money. And they come quite regularly. And I also found that there are people on, it's a new thing where they stand on the expressway entrances and they ask for money. That's just one thing. But I always give to them. Mm-hmm. People have told me, they say, well, why would you give to them? They're probably just buying drugs with the money or alcohol or foolish stuff like that. And I always say this. Mm-hmm. And I've said this for quite a while. Every time I give someone money, it's my money to give them. But once they have the money, it's their money. What they do with it is their business. As long as it's my money to free to give or not to give. But once I give it away and the other person has it, then it becomes their money. And the same thing, that's the way I try and treat everything. And I also try and treat everything with, when you give love out to the universe and to people, it always comes back to you because you're actually, like you said, you're actually giving love to yourself because we are all one universe. I mean, it might sound funny, but you could love a table. Because the table is made with the same, as far as science goes anyway, is made with the same building blocks that you are. So there's no difference in the universe. We're all one with the whole universe, the other planets, the stars, and everything that makes up the universe. So when you're giving love, you're actually giving it to the universe, not just to another person or other people. You're giving it to the whole universe. And I guess that's what I wanted to say. I hope I wasn't too long-winded.
No, that's great. That's great. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Janice?
Is that me? Yeah.
Yeah, did you want to say something?
I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity to do some tithing this weekend. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go on.
I had an opportunity to do some tithing this weekend. I saw my niece. She was in a soccer tournament. I'm sorry, a field hockey tournament. And you know, I was inspired to, she inspires me. She's an athlete. She's such a good student. And I was just, it just flowed so easily to just hand her some money. And she goes, oh, you didn't have to do that. I said, no worries, you know, no worries. You inspire me. And it was just a beautiful moment of sharing that with her. So,
yeah.
You know, so thank you for the reminders. You know, it's just very, it's a very powerful thing to do. And I also had an experience, too, that, you know, where I had this woman in dire need. Her heat was going to be shut off, so I just asked her to hand me a bill. And not knowing what that would be, I absolutely trusted. I don't think I had money to pay all of my bills that month anyways, but, you know, mm-hmm. as soon as I did that, it's like two clients lined up for that next day. The very next day. And it was a Friday. People don't typically book for about a week in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a very, it's like very confirming that, you know, we are all here together doing this together. And it's perfect.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, and I think Janice and I think Emil, I think we would agree, like, my experience is that it's so much not about the action of what you're doing. It feels like it's the action, but it's like the moment before you do the action, you feel that release from fear, right? You feel like in that flow where you're in trust. And I think that's what just, you know, lifts you. So again, it comes, right? Would you agree that it comes back to that moving into that space of just, you know, feeling that trust that you're connected, you're going to be taken care of, you're going to do this, and it's going to be fine. You know, you're not sure.
Yeah.
Yes,
and it's a nice feeling to know that you're guided to do that. I was,
right.
You know, that was pure guidance. You know, I walked out the door, and I turned back, and I said, no, I need to do this for her today.
Right. Right.
Can
I speak again? Am I still on?
Yep, you are still on. Go on. Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to say today I was at a fancy place because two people that I know wanted to thank me for what I had done, which I really hadn't done anything, but I accepted it because I have to learn to accept things like that's one of the things you said. But also, on the way home, I said, well, I just had lunch. It didn't cost me anything. And I had gotten a letter the other day from the mission, the Open Door Mission, and I was going by there because I live on Plymouth Avenue. So I said, well, I'll go in and make a donation because the letter on the envelope said, for the Thanksgiving donation. So I just tried it in and made my donation, and I left. I said I just had a beautiful lunch. It didn't cost me anything. I had wonderful company while I was there talking to the people that I was with. And I said, geez, I said, it'd be nice to just stop by and give a gift to the mission because I have done that in the past. And I said, it's Thanksgiving, let me give a gift, and I have something to be thankful for because the people bought me lunch and we had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah. So it's kind of like just beautiful, the flow, right? It reaffirms that flow that, you know, there is this connection. And, and I think it just, like, lifts you out of this, like, so much of, like, me, mine, you know, my problems, my thing, you know, this place we can get stuck in. And, you know, Jerry Jampolsky in his book, Teach Only Love, and his other books, he's often talked about when they're working with kids who are, like, in a place of, you know, they're not well or, you know, or they're, let's say, maybe they're physically okay, but they're feeling depressed or sad. Or even with adults, they'll say, you know, like, I remember this one child was just who had gotten in an accident and had just kind of lost some ability to walk and whatever, and this was really difficult. And so he was in a room with this other, like on a hospital ward, and Jerry or one of his facilitators said, you know, give this boy this baby. Let him hold this baby and let him connect to this baby and just feel like that he's doing something for this baby, you know, just holding the baby. And how much, like when we get into that place of giving, we can't be in fear, you know. We can't just be in ourselves. And I think that is what the healing is. That's the therapeutic part of it. And then how it looks, whether it's holding a baby or giving your niece something or me sending a check for something or someone just, you know, offering to do something, it doesn't matter. The form will just be whatever it's needed to be. But for me, the important part is for us to see how that's such a beautiful way to lift us up out of this, you know, ego identification where we're very small, right? Where we're just small and kind of, you know, just kind of self-absorbed and consumed with our own sort of stuff, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I think Sharon, she's been, I'm going to just go to Sharon because she's been waiting patiently while we've been talking. So, Sharon, yeah. Did you? Yep. Good. Oh, sorry. I'm still kind of learning these. Okay. Sharon, go ahead, please. Did you want to share something?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yep, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Just the connected piece. I mean, I'm trying to understand, you know, everything you're saying, and I guess getting to that point where you really feel connected to everyone if you don't,
right.
Like how you get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess a lot of the talks in, you know, the previous weeks that I listened to, I know we always talk about, you know, that inner guide or God or whatever you, you know, kind of associate with or what, you know, makes most sense to you. And I tend to not identify so much with, you know, God and Jesus and a higher power and all of that. What makes most sense to me is the inner guide or that inner wisdom. Like to me, if there is a God, that's kind of my definition, is that still clear voice that we're all trying to tap into.
Mm-hmm.
That would be God in my definition.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, what is drawing me into these calls, but I guess just the whole connected piece, like how do you bring yourself to feel more connected to everything or to anyone?
Yeah. So obviously that's a great question. So I'm going to share what's coming up for me, and then we'll kind of open it up because I think you asked a really wonderful question. And I'm sure it's going to help others too. So we'll kind of open it up for others to see what they want to share. So I kind of like to start with just like start where you are, you know. And if you are wanting to make a connection with your inner guide, it's just like, you know, you would, let's say you're trying to get to know a friend, right? And let's say your inner guide is your, this is you're going to be your, you know, what do they say, BFF, your best friend forever, right?
Right.
So this is, right, this is going to be that person for you, that space, place, whatever. But you don't, let's say you don't feel like you know this person that well, right? So just like if you were meeting someone who was an acquaintance, you would just kind of spend time with them, right? You would find a time to maybe have coffee or, you know, sit down with them or maybe do something with them. So I remember Janice and I did this program together, and our teacher, Lisa Natoli, who's also my friend Judy's teacher, you know, she gave this beautiful practice. She would say, you know, the way you have, like, coffee with a friend, so when you spend time with your inner guide, like, if you're with a friend, you wouldn't have, like, a cell phone on, you know, you'd kind of give them undivided attention. You'd be listening, talking, sharing, you know, find that time, that quiet time. And then just kind of, it doesn't have to look like meditation, although it could. It doesn't have to look like prayer, although it could. But most important is it's a quiet time. And then she would encourage us to, like, you know, have a journal, paper to write on. And just like with a friend, just like you're just going to sit down and say, okay, I'm here. You know, I'm here. I want to connect with this place. People talk to me about it. Sometimes I do feel connected. Right now I'm not. Can you help me? And, you know, just kind of be quiet and sit and, you know, maybe have the journal. Maybe something will come up. Maybe an image will come up. Maybe you want to have some music in the background. I mean, just make it so it is just so comfortable to you and so safe. And maybe you're just going to have emotions come up. You know, maybe there's some tears. Maybe there's some sadness. Maybe there's some anger. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because you're dedicating this time that this place, you're safe. You're safe to let this all out. And then it just becomes like something you do every day. You know, you find that time because you really want to get to know this place. So you want to just make that time, make that time, make that time. And, you know, something will open for you. You know, we don't know how it's going to be. You know, everyone has their own journey. But I'd like to say, I'd like to feel that my inner guide wants to be connected with me as much as I want to connect to this place. And actually, my inner guide is always connected to me. I'm the one that can slip in and slip out, you know. So I even think of it like that. You know, it's like a mom is always kind of her, you know, the child wanders away, but the mom knows exactly where this child is and, you know, has an eye. Even if she's talking, she's got that sixth sense that knows where her child is. You know, that's the way I feel with this inner guide. Like, it knows. It knows. So, yeah, so those are some suggestions. And I know on, like, the Coaching for Inner Peace website, there's some meditations also that I've put up there, some guided meditations in the meditation section. You could look at that. That might be helpful. I mean, that's what I'm feeling. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I think so. So as far as feeling connected to people and that exterior world, do you think just trying to spend more time with your inner guide and do, you know, for me, I think meditation is, you know, a quiet time where I can see myself using that and just spending that time trying to tap into that is going to make you feel more connected to others.
Well, what happens is when you start to make that inner connection, then you can start to ask those questions like, how can I feel more connected to whoever it is in my life that you want to be more connected to? The thing with going in with your inner guide is that you're going to be in a more receptive place to hear. So first, if you connect within, then, you know, you're going to be in a place that you can connect more. So you kind of find your own place of peace, your own place of, you know, just that love. And then, you know, how can I connect? And then there's lots of, you know, there's lots of things to do around visualization and, you know, things like that. I love to imagine if I'm having a problem with someone in my life, I like to really just get quiet and say, okay, what's coming up for me? You know, what are they bringing up? What's a lesson for me? Because there's always a lesson, right? Today I read someone wrote on Facebook, if someone is in my life, they're either a blessing or they're either a lesson. So they're one or the other, sometimes both. So I think of it that way, and then I just try to say, okay, what do I want them to understand? What is it that I feel they're not hearing? Or, you know, I just kind of make it like in my mind, what would I say? How would I say this? And what's coming? And then just try to, like, try to know that every person in your life is asking for love. Every person, including yourself. So there's no exceptions. There's no exceptions. And if you can see that sometimes the asking for love can look in a different way than you thought, then you can start to open up a little bit. But, you know, there's no, like, set hard, fast rule of how to do it. But definitely the process of going inside, making that connection, and then trying to hear that, like, look for love. Like, really seeing yourself needing love, seeing others, but coming from that place, I think that's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So I'm gonna open it up, and I'm gonna see if anyone else wants to answer. So there may be other suggestions for you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. So I'm gonna just move on. Okay. Janice, did you want to add something?
Yes, I think, you know, you're absolutely on the right track. The one of the most basic things is to connect to yourself, and that's what Seema's trying to say, is that when you go into a quiet place, you are connecting to you, to your emotions, to your reactions to people, everything about you. And when you can connect to yourself and you have a stronger sense of who you are, you're more aware of others. You're much more connected. There's no magic trick. It's like today, tomorrow, you're not going to just all of a sudden be very connected and feel that connection. It's more on a gradual way that you connect to you. And connecting to you is understanding what all those emotions are, but it goes even deeper. It means caring for you. It means finding what brings you joy, coming away from the fixing and caretaking, and really, really discovering you. And when you can, because otherwise you're not going to have a bit of energy to understand someone else because you're in a place where you don't even know who you are. So that is why it's so important to really take care of yourself at all levels.
I was just going to say, so that has to come first before you can focus on feeling connected to the world or the people around you. It's, you know,
yeah, I think so. Yeah,
that interconnection.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's so much going on inside of you that you haven't sorted out, it's hard to connect to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
doing what Seema suggested, which was, you know, doing the meditation, quieting your mind, getting to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we look for this outer connection because we're afraid to connect to ourselves. We say we want to connect to ourselves, but we're afraid to make that journey to go beyond the fear, beyond the, you know, the sadness, to really find that place inside us. And so we feel very focused on fixing things outside us, like we want others to change or, you know, or to just have that connection. And it can be a tricky place. But, but I think, like, as Janice was saying, it's not an overnight thing. But if you just kind of, even like just practice it, like let's say just for 7 days, you know, just give yourself an experiment of just doing this for like 6-7 days, and then, you know, you just start to watch how your mind, it's not just connecting, it's how are you seeing things, and then you're going to start to see things differently, and then that's going to change, and then it's going to be like this, you know, it just builds on each other. But I mean, it's this is what we're here to learn. I mean, I think that's the main, we're here to learn how to love and be loved and accept love. Like, that's what we're, this is all, you know, these calls, everything, this is what it's for. This is what it's for.
And you think meditation, like the guided meditation, is a good medium, if you will, to try and tap into that?
Yeah, they're all different tools. So you'll have to explore. You can try the meditation. You can try the writing. Some people like to take a walk. You know, there's many different ways. The point is that you're going to be spending this time with yourself, and you're going to do it on a regular basis. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
on a daily basis, I should say, not even a regular. So but I just want to...
It could be with music as well, I think you said, right?
Sure. So I just want to kind of just invite the other callers in, and let me just move on, and let's see if they have anything else to add on this topic, okay? All right. So anyone else? Sally, Seema, and there's one other person who joined us later. Anyone else wants to say something that maybe anyone who hasn't spoken? If not, then we can continue talking. But since it's a small group, I just want to ask if anyone else, Seema or Sally, or I'm not sure who this new person is. Okay, let me... Seema, did you want to add something?
No, I actually, I agree with, you know, what you were saying earlier, and I think that it was really good insight that we tend to look for outer connection even if, when we haven't made the inner connection inside of us, and that's so important, because when we do connect with ourselves, our inner guide, as you mentioned, opens us to a world that will enable us to see things differently and connect to people in very meaningful ways, and connect with love, because we otherwise we tend to connect fairly superficially, or it's for I need this and I need that. So I think, you know, what you said, it's very important, the connection to our higher self or ourself. And I just, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm reiterating it, but I feel that that's a very, very important point. So that's all. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Yeah. Hi.
Hi, Seema. It's Mary.
Hey, Mary. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did you want to say anything about what we've been talking about making... Yeah, the connection.
I guess with as far as the meditating, I mean, I find all different kinds of ways of meditating. It's not necessarily sitting and meditating. I know when I'm dancing, I'm meditating, because it's whenever I'm doing the things that I love to do, like meditating, or if I'm by the water, if I'm on a boat or anything like that, I feel that I'm meditating and I'm in my true essence. You know, when I'm helping others, I find I help others more than I give of myself, and I'm seeing that now, where I feel really good when I help other people, which I've been doing a lot lately of, but I'm kind of holding back too a little bit, so I can balance it out and take care of myself too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I know when I reach, you know, when I reach out and help other people, it makes me feel really good. It's just that I have to balance it out to take care of me too. I give myself away and I leave myself nothing. So now I'm changing that and I'm recognizing that.
Great. So like there's like a balance of giving and receiving, and having a kind of comfortable balance kind of keeps things flowing in a nice way.
I know there's been, you know, when you were saying about giving away, giving money or something like that. I know it's happened to me in Wegmans one time, or a couple of different times, when somebody was ahead of me and didn't have enough money and I paid for it. And it was just such a great feeling to do that. You know?
Yeah.
So that's about it.
Okay, great. All right. So let me... Sally, just checking in with you. Any reflections, anything you want to share?
Well, I did want to share that I had this experience today that I just think it just showed, you know, how attitude can make a difference. I was on a it was a work-related insurance, you know, trying to get something covered, that, you know, and it was transfer, you know, to multiple different people. And through each one, each person I spoke with was extremely helpful. And, you know, typically I think I would have lost it. But there was just that just connected, you know. I just, you know, there was this purpose there. And I think it's, you know, I didn't come in with anger or this expectation, you know, like that I need this done now. But it just, I just was surprised by three different people, you know, connecting me to the next one and to the next one and to the next one, rather than saying, the number, go ahead and you just call and you take care of it. I don't know. It just left me with this feeling of gratitude that, you know, you ask and you can receive.
Right, right. Yeah, and actually, you bring up a great thing, the gratitude part. That's a great thing to bring in because, you know, I've read somewhere that the easiest way to get into kind of a more connected, expansive, or whatever you want to call it, state of mind, is by just giving gratitude for just what is right now, like right this minute. You know, all the things that we are grateful for that we just, you know, we just don't acknowledge. And that appreciation, that gratitude, it just has a way, right? It just has a way of lifting you. And, yeah, so I think that's a great, that's another practice that I think we can suggest also for all of us. I mean, Sharon brought up this idea about connecting, but I think all of us can practice that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, good. This is good. Okay, thanks, Sally. Okay, so, all right, we have like another maybe 4 or 5 minutes, so let me just go back here again. I see, Janice, did you want to add something else?
No.
You're good.
I think
okay.
That's, yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
You're good. Okay. All right. Then let's see here. Okay. Emil, did you want to add something?
Yes, I did. I wanted to say that meditate, because I come from a meditative background. And I meditate quite a bit, and I have gotten to know myself fairly well and to know my guide fairly well. And I think that the next step in my, I'm only judging by myself, but the next step that I went through is to become of service, to volunteer. That's a good way to learn to connect with people and to be connected with people and to get a gratifying feeling from the good things that you do for people. And it's a good way to spread the love around.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, and it comes back to that receiving and giving again, right? How it's just
yes.
a circle. It's
yes,
a circle.
It always does.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got just about maybe 4 or 5 minutes. I'm just going to unmute everyone. And how about, okay, so pretty much everyone can talk. Any last-minute things anyone feels like saying, or someone that something just came up that they just really have to say that they want to contribute? Or
well, no, I think Emil is right. Another way to connect to people is to be of service. There was there's a story, and I don't know where I heard it from, but there's a story, a very short story, where this man is on the phone with his psychologist, and he's suicidal. And in the middle of the conversation, the psychologist asked him if he knew about the woman downstairs from him that was elderly, And he said, would you mind going down to see if she's okay and if she needs anything? Right. And so what he did was totally distracted him, the patient, from his suicidal tendencies. So he went down, and then he came back to the phone. He says, yeah, I needed to do something, sweep something, or something happened in the downstairs. And he was, like, fine. He was in a totally different mindset.
So,
just wanted to share that story,
That's a great story. Yes, it's like stepping out of ourselves into something bigger than ourselves, whether it be through service, whether it be through an experience of meditation, right, whether it be an experience in nature, something that steps us out of ourselves. And, so many times we think, you know, the more we think of our problems, the more we'll be able to resolve them, but it's actually the opposite, right? They just, you know, what you give attention to grows. So, yeah. All right. So let's, I'm just going to kind of, Seema, anything, any last minute, a word or anything else? We're just going to kind
of. I enjoyed listening, and it's good, the reminder about the gratitude and being of service and, you know, what we just, the story just related right now, stepping out of ourselves. I mean, all of these things, I think, really do connect us and help us see ourselves in a different way. It's just about really practicing and really making it important in our life. So it's good. These reminders are important. I feel that I need to journal more about this. So thank you. Yeah, no, it's good.
Okay. Mary, did you want to
No, just thank you very much. Thanks for this whole discussion.
Okay. And so, Sally, you're good, right? Thanks for that reminder about gratitude again. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll just check in with Sharon. So I hope you feel like you've got some tools or some ideas.
Yes, I do. And I guess the other thought I have, and I don't know if there's probably not time to get into it a lot, but maybe next talk we could. Going to like the altar visualization of, like, you know, instead of talking about your problems or focusing so much on them, just kind of giving that up and, you know, saying, I guess my initial reaction when I heard that was, isn't that like not taking responsibility? Which, you know, it was just an interesting concept that, like,
I'm just going to ask, so Janice, why don't you maybe spend like a minute or two just maybe talking to us about this idea of putting it on the altar, and then I think we'll stop there because we are over, so I don't want to go over too much. Okay?
Okay. You know, just briefly, you know, putting something on the altar means you're actually giving it over to spirit. And you as a human cannot solve it. If you can think of yourself as just, you're just this human, physical body, and you cannot solve it. But spirit can. Spirit can take it from you. Spirit can transform it. So it's whatever, like Bill says in The Course in Miracles, 1,000 times, send it to the altar if you need to. If you have that thought, the second you have the thought, hand it over. Place it on the altar.
And
so that,
and also, yeah. And also, I just wanted to say something. So, so Sharon, if you know, sometimes if we're not comfortable with the idea of spirit, or even if the word altar brings up ideas of, you know, religion or whatever, you can just think of it as that wisdom within you. Just think of it as the wise higher self, that place of light, that place of wisdom. And as like Janice was saying, that your mind can't come up with this answer, but that part of your mind can. So
So that might be a way for you to think about it. And maybe you can practice that, and then we'll see next week where we are with it, and, you know, we'll kind of check in.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone, and thanks again.
Good night.
Thank you very much.
Good night, Emma.
Everyone.
Okay.
Good night, ladies.
Bye, everyone. Okay.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.